Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Good afternoon at the hands of our producer, Steve Ryman. We are with you this afternoon. Thank you for joining ABQ Connect. We are really blessed this afternoon to have Stephanie Luke and Lori Duffy with CareNet, Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Lori and Stephanie, thanks for coming in. Stephanie, Lori.
Thank you.
You guys are gracious to come over and spend an hour with us. And CareNet, obviously, is a charitable organization. You do amazing work with mothers who may not have been expecting to be pregnant. Right. And you deal with parents. You deal with families. You deal with the women themselves. You deal with boyfriends, maybe even husbands. So it's an amazing ministry, and we're going to talk to you guys about that today. So let me start first by introducing Stephanie. Stephanie is the executive director of CareNet, and Lori is the community outreach director. So Lori gets to go out in the community and brag about everything, but Stephanie has to come and make presentations and be on the radio. And I hope I didn't twist your arm too much to come on today.
Not at all.
No twisting.
All right. Hey, Stephanie, tell us about CareNet and the services that are offered.
Sure. CareNet, so we have four locations around Albuquerque. So we have one in the Northeast Heights, one in Rio Rancho, one in Moriarty, and one in Los Lunas. And we also have a medical mobile unit with an ultrasound that we can take to campuses and abortion facilities and park them out front there. So CareNet provides free compassionate services. So we offer these services to the community, which includes free pregnancy testing, free ultrasounds, free STI testing. We also have classes that we offer for clients. And when they go to those classes, whether they're prenatal or parenting classes, they order or they receive little baby bucks to spend in our clothing closet, which we have diapers, wipes, formula, clothing items, sometimes just other baby items too that people donate for us to give to our clients.
Right. Now, I want to tell both of you, if you haven't heard this in the past, I mean, we have Ethel Maharg, who used to work with CareNet, and she's now director of the Right to Life Committee. We also have people like Vince Horace, Family Policy Alliance, and we are frequently talking about right to life issues. Mm-hmm. And there are obviously a large contingent of people that are pro-choice. And for the purposes of the program today, I don't want to have an argument at all. And I know that your approach is not to argue. It's really just to provide compassionate, free information to people that are considering their pregnancy really to be a crisis. Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that it may not be such a crisis if they take their time and consult with you and talk with you. So I'm going to attempt to make an analogy here. I'm an old athlete. Spent most of my time sitting next to the coach, but I did have four knee injuries in my career, and I had surgery. And on every single one of those surgeries, I had multiple input from several different orthopedic doctors. So it seems to me it's logical that, let's say that you are going to go to Planned Parenthood, it seems logical that you might get a second opinion from someone in your office. Mm-hmm. Is that reasonable?
Yes,
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'll change a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Tell us about, Stephanie, I'll stick with you one more question here, is what is your approach with people through what I would call a crisis or a challenging circumstance that they might considering? Maybe they're even in panic.
Sure. And that's the problem, is there's a panic and a rush to make a decision. And often if a potential client goes to a facility that provides abortion, they're going to also let them know they need to make a quick decision. And we want to let them know that they have time to think about it. So our services, what we offer, you know, we, like I said, we're compassionate, but we also provide resources and we help calm them in the advocacy room. We do share Christ with our clients too. So, we let them know their value. And if they don't know their value, they're not going to value that little life inside of them. So we really want them to see that they have value, that Jesus loves them. And we also let them know there's a lot of resources in the community. We partner with Loveless. They actually started a program with CareNet called Labor of Love that provides so many services for a woman who is pregnant, including Medicaid and getting them connected with a good doctor. And so it helps them feel comforted in making their decisions, so they know, you know, they have support and we're going to be there with them. And God's there with them too.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Lori, let me ask you a little bit about, in the open, I said that you don't just work with the women that are pregnant. You
right.
really work with whole families. What mm-hmm. does that mean?
Well, that means that she's not the only player in the situation. Keep with your sports analogy. but you know, that there's a partner involved. There are parents or grandparents. There are maybe extended family even in the home. Maybe she already has children. Maybe she already has her hands full and really doesn't feel like she can handle another child in the home. So one of the things that we have is we also have a fatherhood coordinator. And so we try, you know, every time that a woman comes in, we attempt to engage the father in conversation as well and to get them involved in our educational programs, in a mentoring program with one of our male volunteers. And so we also try to encourage them to fellowship with one of the local churches to get involved with, especially if you have someone who has made a salvation decision, which has been more common in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, if you're not loving the mom, mm-hmm. you know, she's not going to care what you think about the baby, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to love the whole package. You have to encourage them. And, you know, when Stephanie talked about the resources that we have so much scientifically vetted information that we give to them about abortion and about the different procedures and about the potential impact and all of those things that they're able to get when they come in and meet with one of our mentors, one of our advocates. And that's the other thing, is that they develop relationships with our volunteers, and they know that they're not just out there by themselves.
And the information is really confidential.
Yes. Absolutely, completely.
I mean, mm-hmm. You're absolutely going to keep that confidential. I mean, you are providing medical care,
right.
and mm-hmm. that all follows all the rules.
Mm-hmm. All the HIPAA compliance,
and all
right.
that stuff. Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
I'm an old banker, and I don't think that the faith community or anybody else that's in business needs to apologize for making money.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring this up is, your motivations are not making money.
No.
You're a completely charitable organization. Mm-hmm. You don't have people paying you for your services. We'd love our listeners, if they want to come alongside you, to help you.
Absolutely.
And that they do that. Our listeners do that right. very loyally with
yes.
a lot of charitable organizations. Mm-hmm. So that's why we wanted to present it out mm-hmm. there. But the reason I mention this is that people that are providing, organizations that are providing abortions, are not doing that for free.
No.
And they are making a lot of money and a lot of profit, which is, when you look at the number of abortions, I understand over 5,000 in our state last year. And how much does somebody pay for something like that? Do you have an idea, generally?
It depends on how far along they are.
Yeah.
It could be up to 10,000-20,000 if they're later term. And as we know, Albuquerque is the abortion capital of the world, doing late term abortions for 10 years. So we get a lot of, Albuquerque gets a lot of women coming from around the world to have yeah. abortions. So, and they pay a lot of money even just to fly out.
Stephanie, every day I'm finding out why we are at the top of another bad list.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We should mm-hmm. not be at the top of that list. Oh,
mm-hmm.
it just breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that I've seen in the media, there are a number of black clergy who have obviously been really trying to minister to people because of what's happening with George Floyd. Mm-hmm. But somehow I've seen in the media this abortion issue come up. In mm-hmm. fact, I just watched a video with Kanye West, who is a believer, talking about abortion and how he feels like it's literally a form of genocide
mm-hmm.
against, and that it's racial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how to interpret that, but I know that It is happening more and more. It's more and more common. Mm-hmm. It's so prevalent in New Mexico that it scares me. And I think the main emphasis I wanted to have today is just to let young women and old women too, anybody, right. If you are pregnant and you feel like it's a crisis kind of situation, take some time to get a second opinion and call CareNet. How do people get in touch with you?
They can go to our website at pregnanthelponline.com. So that would be for clients, for anybody who would like to set an appointment. And they can call any of our centers. The phone numbers are on there. Or if a donor wants to get a hold of us, they can go to carenetabq.org. And a donor, just volunteer, anybody who wants to be a part of CareNet or know more about CareNet. There's more on that.
Tell us the website one more time.
Sure. The pregnanthelponline.com for those who would like to make an appointment with CareNet, for those who would like to know more about CareNet as far as either volunteering or donating, just asking more questions about what we do, they can go to carenetabq.org.
And I did notice that if you just Google CareNet, you don't go to your website necessarily.
No.
There's a hospital facility and some other people, so people need to get that well. Well, individually, I'm going to ask you the same question. Stephanie, we'll go with you first. Stephanie Luke is the executive director of CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Why are you personally involved with CareNet? What's been the road to you being the executive director?
Well, I did not expect that question, so I have quite a story. I have my own testimony, and at age 16, I got pregnant, and I actually had an abortion, and I had gone to a facility that encouraged me to get an abortion, but I ultimately made that choice, and I thought the government says it's okay, so I might as, you know, I think it must be, but I knew it wasn't deep down, and so I didn't know the Lord then, but I did come to know the Lord a few years later, and through a lot of searching, God showed me that He loved me, and He could forgive something as horrific as that, and that He had a plan and purpose for me. So I gave my life to the Lord. I asked for forgiveness, and there was a shame that just lifted off of me, cleansing. And then I got some help. I got some counseling for that, and I grew in my walk with God, and I just knew my purpose in life was to share Jesus with people, and if it meant using my testimony to maybe save some babies. Now, that's not anything of me. It's all of God. But if He could use that horrific decision to point to Jesus, I wanted to be a part of that. So I started volunteering about 20 years ago, and then at CareNet type pregnancy resource centers. And then I got into Bible college. And when I graduated, I started work with a CareNet that wasn't here. But
Stephanie, I'm fascinated with your story because you know, I believe Jesus died for all of us and for everything that we've ever done and has already forgiven us. All we have to do is receive it by acknowledging the sin. So you've already described the healing. I want to know about the people. Did the people love on you, and or did they get in your face and treat you badly?
At the, I won't use their name, but they were at the abortion facility. They were not kind, and you know, it was scary. It was like a herd of cattle just going in. The rooms were one after another, and it was scary. There was a lot of crying and screaming, and it was, I mean, it was a long time ago too, but it was awful. But then, you know, that's why we want to be different too. We want to offer full education too, of what is happening, what happens with an abortion, because you're not going to hear that when you go to an abortion provider. But we want to, we really, like Lori said, we want to educate, we do educate them on what happens, in the pregnancy, and also what an abortion, looks like, depending on how far along that they are. So they are fully educated in making that decision.
Lori, how about your road?
So my story is a little different, and I am a student of the 70s, so I graduated from high school in 1977. So since 1973.
Why am I always the oldest person in the room? This is what's bothering me.
So I, the Roe versus Wade decision had been made in 1973. So my entire high school time was during a time when abortion was legal and the subject was still debated. It wasn't that, you know, unplanned pregnancy equals abortion, which is what I say now, is that that's what you see. So I was always pro-life. I was always on the side of defending life. And even to the point where I've told people before, I think I was kind of arrogant about it. You know, I was not kind at times when I would talk about that. And so as, you know, got on in our marriage, having kids, having family, and one of our sons and his wife had a pregnancy where they were pregnant with a little boy. They had two girls already. This was their first boy. They went to their ultrasound and they were told after they found out they were having a boy, they were super excited. And within a little bit, I got another phone call back from my son. And he said, "Mama, we've been told that our baby is not compatible with life." And he had a condition known as anencephaly. So the brain stem had developed, but he would never develop a brain. And I think what impacted me the most during that was that they immediately wanted to schedule a termination of that pregnancy. And our children stood strong and said, "No, this is our baby. God has given us this baby and we will protect it for as long as we can." And so on, you know, November 3rd of that year, we had a little baby boy, perfect in every way, with the exception of having something to tell his body, you know, how to continue to function. And so we had 2 hours with Adam Matthew. And that just had such an impression on me. And I could see every time our daughter-in-law would go for an appointment, she would be asked if she was ready to schedule her termination. And it was emotionally difficult for her. It was just so spiritually difficult for them. And they stayed strong through that. But I could see that this wasn't just a matter of choice. This was pressure being put on young women from an industry. And then after I started with CareNet, I volunteered for a couple of years. And in 2015, when I came on board, I went to a seminar, another wonderful pro-life organization, headed up by a gal named Sydney Massey. And she talked about women who are facing those unplanned pregnancies and that tornado of circumstances that we use, or that, you know, they're just in a crisis. They're having a difficult time making a decision. They're being coerced. They're being pressured. They're, you know, they have their own, you know, goals and hopes and expectations, and just how much that can put pressure. And I think some of that arrogance was chipped off my shoulders. Mm. And, you know, I just say that really honestly, because I think I was a somewhat judgmental person at that time. And I think, you know, working with CareNet and just seeing the love and compassion. And the other thing is that when they come in, if they make a decision to terminate, they're welcome back in our facility the next day.
Oh, nice.
You know, we would never turn them away. They're welcomed the same way they would have been welcomed the first day.
We are visiting this afternoon with Stephanie Luke, the executive director of CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, and their community outreach director, Lori Duffy. We'll be back with more about CareNet right after these messages. Stay with us.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate it to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
Hey, New Mexico. The spring and summer months are hard on your car, and that's why Power Forward makes it easy for you to take care of it. From routine maintenance to vehicle checkups, our quality service costs less than most of the places that promise to get you done quick or in a jiffy. Allow the experts at Power Forward to help you take care of your car. We'll also include a sanitation and disinfectant treatment. All makes, all models, and you never need an appointment. If you're looking for a better deal and a better experience, Come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Are you having a craving for authentic and delicious New Mexican cuisine? Sadie's On Academy is offering phone-in, curbside pickup, and online ordering with menu items like their shredded beef brisket tacos, Brian's carne adobada ribs, sopapilla sliders, and more. Don't forget to pick up their famous Sadie's Chips and Salsa, located at 5400 Academy Road Northeast. Orders can be placed at 505-821-3388. That's 505-821-3388.
The most recent State of the Bible survey revealed that only 9% of millennials read the Bible on a daily basis. The most skeptical generation on record is also uninformed about the Word of God. Small wonder there's such lifestyle confusion. What about your own children or your grandchildren? How can you pass on your faith to a younger generation so they don't become a statistic and a skeptic? We want to help you encourage a young person in your life to get excited about God's Word and all He has for them. Soaring Through the Bible by Skip Heitzig gives kids and tweens an overview of the entire Bible in an exciting travel guide format that includes fun illustrations and fascinating facts to keep them engaged. We'll send you your copy of this made-for-kids resource when you give a generous donation of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air, connecting more people like you to God's Word. Call now to give, and then receive your copy of Soaring Through the Bible, 800-922-1888, or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I've said it before, I get to learn new things every time I have guests in. Stephanie Luke is the Executive Director of CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, and Lori Duffy is the Community Outreach Director. Lori just made a really interesting point before the break, which is if a woman decides to have her pregnancy terminated, she is welcome in your facility the next day.
Yeah.
I want to cry about that.
Yeah.
Stephanie, tell us about that.
Well, absolutely. We want them to know that, you know, we aren't going to judge them. We definitely want them to carry and carry and keep their baby. But if they make the decision not to, we want them to know they're welcome back. Maybe they'll come back for another pregnancy test in the future, and maybe they'll make another decision, but at least they know we're a safe place. Mm-hmm. We also provide a post-abortive support group for those who have made a who have had an abortion. And so we do share that with our clients as well, that that's available for them. So, and if we share that with them while they're in the intake process, you know, at least they're thinking, well, gosh, I'm going to need support if I make this decision. Because a lot of times, you know, they're hearing it's a blob of tissue and that, you know, there's nothing to grieve over. So when you make it real for them that this is a baby, and we use that word baby. Our RDMS, who does a lot of the ultrasounds, she loves, you know, using all kinds of names, Bambino, gummy bear, you know, little cute
peanut.
Yeah. So we really, you know, we really give them a lot of joy in that situation, and that it doesn't have to be a crisis, but it's a joyful event, and we want to celebrate with them.
So I want to maybe give you a scenario. There's, say, a high school young lady who's gotten pregnant, and similar to your situation that you mentioned, Stephanie, you were pretty young, maybe afraid to tell your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having a personal crisis about your pregnancy, but you think that once your parents know about it, they're just going to go crazy. You've mentioned the pressure from medical, providers that do terminate pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
Those shall remain nameless.
Because
we don't want to have a fight. We just want to provide information. We want people to get second opinions. We want them to know there's free information and care available to them, which is what CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque does.
Mm-hmm.
Four locations, so you're as convenient as you can be, and you even mentioned a mobile unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you about, what care does this person get if this 16-year-old gives you a call?
That's a good question. Well, first of all, she's going to hear a kind voice over the phone, setting up an appointment with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we do accept walk-ins, though, as well. And we'll invite her back into the advocacy room. We don't call it a counseling room since we're not licensed counselors, but we do have an extensive training, FYI, for our volunteers who do training and staff as well. So, but we, if they have a partner with them, we want them to bring them too, because as Lori mentioned, our fatherhood coordinator, he and the gentlemen that come in and help, what they do is help support the men, and encourage these men to be fathers, because that makes a big difference in the woman's decision. So if they can go back into that room with the women, and now, of course, when they're asking personal questions and medical questions, we don't have them in the room at the same time. But we also want them to see the ultrasound too, if the woman has an ultrasound. So
there's a lot of great free information they can get. No pressure. You're not putting any pressure on people to not terminate their pregnancy. You are encouraging them and telling them you'd love for them to keep the baby. I guess I'm sitting back thinking, what is the opposition saying to these young ladies when they go into their clinics? Because they do have a profit motive. And again, I'm not criticizing anybody for making money.
Right.
You know, medical providers need to make money like anybody else. You all are a 501c3 organization. You are supported by ministries. You have churches and individuals and maybe even businesses that contribute to that. I don't know which of you would want to take this question, but how do our listeners come alongside you and help and get involved and volunteer?
Well, there's a mixture. Like Stephanie mentioned, we have volunteers. You know, other than our staff, we have our client advocates. We have people who help with our clothing closet. We have people who volunteer on the medical mobile unit, and we have you know, and then we have our fundraising events. You know, we have those sorts of things where we have our, usually we have a banquet, an in-person banquet. This year we had our first ever unbanquet on the 21st of April. And that program is actually still on our website. People could go and view that on our events tab. But we're able to have our Walk for Life event. We'll have our Laugh for Life event. But then beyond that, we have Friends for Life. We have people who come along and decide they want to be a monthly donor at whatever level they would like to support us. And so we set that up as a monthly donation, and it keeps going until they tell us they don't want it to go anymore. So it will just keep going for 5 years or 10 years or 5 months, depending on, you know, on their situation and what they want to do. But, so there are lots of ways that I have mailings sometimes that people come in and help with administrative things. We have people who, in the churches, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We have a church liaison, so someone who will communicate with me and watch my communications through email and those sorts of things, and communicate to their congregations about the needs of CareNet and what's going on, what's new, what's changing, what our needs are, and those sorts of things. You know, I think there's a way for someone to get involved if they're interested in becoming involved. And we have great donors. We have great faithful donors to the organization.
Best to contact you via your website or the phone call?
Either is fine. A phone call. Do you want me to give you that
number?
Get the number. It's 505-880-8373.
I have on my heart right now as we're talking, we ask you about the young lady that gets pregnant and is afraid to tell her parents. Yeah. Talk to me about the parents that are scared.
Can I talk about this just a little bit? Please. Just because a story popped into my mind when you were talking about that. You had one of your notes was, you know, sharing success stories with you. And one of those comes from when Lisa O'Brien was still our medical mobile unit director. And they were on the sidewalk outside the abortion facility in Albuquerque. And they had a couple who brought their daughter down from Colorado to have an abortion. I don't remember for sure how far along she was, maybe between 12 and 16 weeks, somewhere in there. But she agreed to come on the bus to have an ultrasound because we're right there with a sonographer and ready to do that. So she was on the bus with the parents, and the parents had not wanted to have her have the abortion, but they were not going to force her one way or the other. And actually, it's illegal to coerce for someone to have an abortion. A parent can't insist on it, or a grandparent, or anyone. But the really neat thing was to see how God had put things together. And that's where I think we're really different, is that we are an organization that desires to serve God and to share his love with the clients. Well, Lisa had been a pregnant teenager. She had gotten pregnant in her junior year of high school, I think, and she had wanted to go to college. She had wanted to finish her training, and she was able to have her baby. She was able to go to school at the same time with the New Futures High School, I believe, in Albuquerque. She completed high school. She became an engineer, and she retired from Intel as an engineer. And as they were talking, you know, it was kind of like, so what now? What are the obstacles? What are the obstacles that you still have? Because the parents were very willing to be supportive. And she said, well, the father of the baby doesn't want anything to do with the dad, or to do with the baby. And I really don't want my baby to grow up without a father. And at that point, her dad turned to her and said, I will be a father to your baby. And that was like the last obstacle. And they turned around and went back to Colorado, and she didn't have the abortion that day. And so I think just being able to work past those obstacles is often just a huge part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We have a number of folks, that have car dealerships in Albuquerque that are supporting the programming here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a number of people that are in the mortgage industry. And the reason I bring that up is both of those industries have a reputation for high-pressure sales.
Uh-huh.
And the people that are on our station, they don't have that. They give you really valuable information. You get to make your own decision. Sure, they'll ask for your business. But what we're really talking about here is you're not coercing anybody. You're giving them information. You're loving on them. You're going to love them if they go have their pregnancy terminated and come back to you. You're going to still love on them and care about them. So I want people to have an assurance, and I have that just in the first half an hour that we've talked. So we've got another half an hour with you. Stephanie Luke is the executive director of CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Lori Duffy is the community outreach director. I've already been really touched by half the stuff you've said. It's just amazing. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
Years ago, there was a slogan, life is short, play hard. King Solomon's slogan was, I'm in charge, pray hard. Listen to Skip Heitzig.
Solomon is feeling the weight, the leadership weight of his dad's kingdom upon his shoulders. And he realizes, look, I need wisdom to know how to handle these people and make decisions.
And God granted him two important things.
God gave him a vast breadth of understanding. An unusual amount of understanding and wisdom. So Solomon ruled with both his head and his heart.
Access Skip's entire teaching library at connectwithskip.com.
If you just rule with your head, if you've got all brains but no heart, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. It edifies.
Add the Connect with Skip Heitzig Alexa skill to your Amazon device.
A balanced person has both brains and heart. Paul said, if I have all knowledge, but I have not love, I am nothing.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
We all can, to some degree, think of something that was cruelly taken from our hands. And maybe it was not a Mexican beach vacation. Maybe it was someone you loved. Maybe to the COVID-19 virus, or maybe to something else. But you know the feeling of joylessness that's come because of something that was taken from you and snatched from you. In that situation, Paul says, when you don't feel joyful, the key is gratitude. The key is to, in everything, he doesn't say for everything, give thanks, but in everything. For we deal with things that are not good and we're not to be thankful for, but in those things we can choose to be grateful, to show gratitude. And that gratitude will help us to tap into our joy. Paul, as he give thanks, is modeling for us. You go, how, Paul, do you have a thank you note full of joy? It's because he was writing a thank you note.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Stephanie and Lori with the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque in studio. And I didn't mean to say, Lori, that I didn't appreciate all that you've said in the first segment. But two or three of the things you said, really, I mean, they're kind of making me choke up because I am excited to hear that you're willing to just care about people. You're not hiding the fact that you want to encourage them to go full term through their pregnancy. You've already shared an amazing story about your own family having done that, knowing that the baby was not going to survive. And that ended up being a special thing, even a spiritual thing, right?
Right. I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's back up now and talk. Stephanie said earlier that you have four locations and thing. I want to go over that again, talk about how easy it is to get an appointment, and I think you said you can even drop in if you want to.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So our four locations, again, are in the Northeast Heights area off of Candelaria. We have one in Rio Rancho. I can't remember the road name.
Monterey.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Los Lunas and Moriarty, and then our mobile unit. So
all the way up to the East Mountains. That's
yes,
great.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right by the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we know a lot of that the younger generation wants to go online and see what's available more than anything. So again, our website that they can go to is pregnanthelponline.com. They can even ask for an appointment online. There is a place to send an email to set up an appointment. They can call any of the numbers of those locations, or they can walk in. Mm-hmm. So during the business hours of that center. So we want them to know that we are going to be available to help as quickly as possible. And
so even if they don't know they're pregnant, maybe they just think they're pregnant, they can even get a test.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I haven't told you guys this, but I have five children. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't give any of them back. But I remember that there was always some anxiety about, you know, finding out whether their mother was pregnant. It was there was always some anxiety there. You always are just praying that your children are going to be healthy. I'm sure you guys have some stories about, you know, children are not always born perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard anyone that I know personally with a special needs child that would ever trade that experience in a million years.
Right.
Yet I know that abortion providers will consistently use that as a reason to abort a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you share a story maybe about somebody that you know?
Do you have a specific one or do you want me to?
Well, I'm thinking of the couple that came from Texas.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of too, so go ahead.
There was, and feel free to chime in if I missed something. But we had a couple that were coming from Texas, so they drove in to get an abortion at the late term facility, and she was pretty far along. I don't remember.
22 weeks, I think.
All right. Yeah. And so she saw our medical mobile unit. One of the sidewalk advocates had called her over in a loving way and just said, "Hey, would you like to get a free ultrasound?" And they came over and got an ultrasound. But one of the things that was that they were told, the reason that they came out was because there was, I don't remember the name of the condition. Lori, do you?
I think it was spina bifida. Pretty sure.
No.
It was hydrocephalus. It was hydrocephalus.
That's right. So our medical mobile unit director, her son had that same condition. And this couple was told that they should abort because their child had that condition. And they did not want to make that decision, but they were told by their doctor that they should. So our mobile unit director, Julie Winkler, got to share the testimony of her son and how, I mean, he's an amazing boy. I've seen him. And
so I have to edit that just a little bit if you don't mind.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
So she was told at about the same time in her pregnancy that he had multiple issues. Hydrocephalus wasn't one of them, but that he had multiple issues and that they needed to abort.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided not to. The person who had hydrocephalus is actually our medical mobile unit director, Julie.
That's okay.
But just, I thought, the hydrocephalus was in there. And so here she was, healthy and well. And she said to them, you know, I can't tell you that your situation is going to be the same as mine, that your health will be that their child's health will be the same as mine has been. But again, just that amazing God putting the right people in the right place at the right time and being able to share her story. And that was also the day of her son's
birthday,
12th mm-hmm. birthday or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's an amazing little boy, like she says. But yeah, she was the one who actually had the condition.
Yeah.
But he had multiple issues at birth as well. Yeah, he did.
And the father of this unborn baby, he was in tears.
Right.
And joyful tears, though, after he heard that they didn't have to abort. So they went home and kept their little one. So we still stay in touch with them. And we found some doctors that are more pro-life that we connected them with. So they've got the proper help that they need.
Yeah. And you know what? It isn't just the abortion facilities that are encouraging them to have the abortions either. She was sent to New Mexico because her doctor encouraged her to terminate the pregnancy. And so it's not just the abortion facilities.
Well, I got to believe that there's people even in the medical field that don't have the knowledge you have.
Right.
You know, they see a condition, they think, oh, this is either a matter of inconvenience mm-hmm. or expense that maybe a mm-hmm. couple, even a married couple, doesn't need to endure. So the easy solution is to go this direction and terminate the pregnancy. But you've already mentioned a couple of extreme kind of conditions where mm-hmm. the kids ended up living and being mm-hmm. prosperous and doing all of those different things. And I think even when a baby is born healthy, as a parent, I know I've been apprehensive. My youngest is 19 years old and I'm still nervous about what's
right.
going on. So there's no guarantees, but we know, you know, that God is in charge. And, I guess I look on the internet, quite frequently for stories and things like that. I believe there's a football player named J.K. Dobbins who, very successful college player, and he spends time now testifying that when his mom, he is a black athlete, when his mom got pregnant, she had every opportunity to, get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'm looking online right now, and he is an Ohio State running back, just a fabulous athlete, and he literally publicly now thanks his mom, thanks for not aborting me.
Right.
Because, and you know, what a testimony, what an encouragement. But again, I want to back up and say, okay, if you're pregnant and you are in crisis, nobody's saying it's not a crisis. Nobody's trying to say you shouldn't have all the emotions that you have. You do. You're going to have those. It's stress. We get it. But Stephanie, how are you going to step in to help with that stress?
Sure. Well, we are, again, going to be compassionate and welcoming, and we will let them know all the resources that they have available through medical resources, community resources, and then the resources that we have as far as Lori mentioned, the educational part and also the lessons, all the classes that we have, which we can actually send through email and text too, so they don't have to be at the center to watch these lessons. And they're very informative. They're updated and very educational. So if they're willing to have somebody from a church community stay in contact with them to support them too, they can have that option as well. So there's so many options, so many resources. And last resort, if they want, if they consider adoption, that is also something that we will refer them to an adoption agency if they just absolutely don't want to keep but still carry.
Yeah. Well, and I know a number of young people that were adopted,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
right after they were born. And right. man, have they grown up to be amazing people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do want to say, too, about 80-85% of abortion-minded women who come to our clinics change their mind if they have talked to one of our advocates, and especially if they've had an ultrasound. So mm-hmm. so that's it's a big it's when you asked, you know, what yeah. are they going to hear? That's what they're going to hear. They're going to hear news that changes their mind that significantly.
And see it.
And see it, that's right. And also, we've like I said earlier, there were a lot of salvations recently just through the COVID-19 crisis. But we do have salvations regularly, too. So eternal lives are changed as well.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds like just an amazing ministry. We're talking this afternoon about CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Stephanie Luke is the executive director, and Lori Duffy is the community outreach director. We have one more segment with them. The time flies when you're having fun, ladies. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. Have you ever wondered why darkness occurred for 3 hours during our Lord's crucifixion? Was it an eclipse, or was it just some special supernatural event? Well, historical reports indicate that there was an unusual widespread darkness that seems to coincide with the date of Christ's death. And astronomical records indicate that the sun and moon were too far apart that day for a normal solar eclipse. So the darkness was caused by God. But why did God cause it? Well, several times Jesus referred to divine judgment as outer darkness. And Scripture often links darkness with God's judgment. So the darkness was a symbol of God's judgment against mankind for rejecting and murdering His Son. It's a sign of God's judgment on sin. You encounter darkness every day. Let people see you as a portrait of grace.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
When Christ's earthly ministry was over, He gathered His disciples together and He commissioned them. And by extension, every generation was commissioned with the same thing. We're to be serious about propagating the gospel. The central verb in that passage, it's straightforward. It's noticeably uncomplicated. It's just simply to make disciples. Now, the three words that surround it remind us of the phases of that. We're to be baptizing them, which means we've got to reach them with the gospel. We've got to then teach them to observe everything that Christ commanded. And then we've got to get out there and do what the disciples did. They went out to make these disciples. So Christ gave us a clear directive, a promise to be with us until the work is done. So let's get out there today and start working to get that job done.
Get more hard-hitting, straight-up Bible teaching when you listen to Focal Point's half-hour program. Consider Pastor Mike Fabares as your personal Bible coach. He'll take you through the paces right here on this station. And listen anytime at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque is our topic today. They provide free pregnancy services, everything from pregnancy testing to working with families, working even with the dads, mm-hmm. and obviously the pregnant women, and I know this, Stephanie, we've used the word crisis a number of times. So mm-hmm. it's a highly emotional, highly volatile thing. Sometimes people that are pro-abortion are going to use that to create an urgency that may not really be there. Mm-hmm. And you all are going to try to quiet the storm a little bit is what I'm hearing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good term.
Mm-hmm. With our men's program, we do have – that helps a lot, having these young men reached out to. And we do have examples of the men who actually want to keep the baby, but the mother doesn't. And so that's also something that, we want to really
– And the men don't get to make the decision, but you offer them prayer and counsel and, mm-hmm. Again, that they have somebody to love on them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Couples ever come back in after they've had an abortion and they're encouraged by you later in life?
Yes. We've had a lot of testimonies where they said that they felt loved and heard and appreciated and they've returned. So we do an evaluation before they leave too, so we know how we're doing. So when they come back, we get to hear those stories too.
Lori, you're the community outreacher. Does that mean you get to tell us how your organization is supported and how our listeners can come alongside you?
I can surely do that. Yeah, so we are completely and totally supported by our donors. We receive no government funding. We don't get any of those sorts of things. And so we have opportunities for people to get involved in our fundraisers, our banquet, our Walk for Life, our Laugh for Life. We have people who come along to help support them, just the event itself as underwriters, and we have wonderful people who participate in that. But we have volunteer opportunities as well. I mean, we're supported in a lot of ways. So we have volunteer opportunities in our centers to help me with events at times. And we have online, you can go to CareNetABQ.org, and we have a donate button. You can go right to our e-giving system and make your donations there, or you can call and we could process that over the phone. But we have just lots of ways. And one of the things I thought about, I don't think we mentioned earlier, we talked about volunteers and client advocates, but we are getting ready to have our own group of what we're calling the compassion crew. The vehicle that we have down at the sidewalk near the abortion facility is Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that we got through an affiliation with an organization called Save the Storks out of Colorado Springs. And so we were able to purchase that vehicle, and we are there on the sidewalk because of our connection with them, and they're very supportive of us as well. But we, the person who they refer to as the national donor gets to name that vehicle, and he named that vehicle Compassion. And so we are going to call our group who is on the sidewalk the Compassion Crew and the Compassion Crew. And so this will be a very specific group of volunteers. They won't be inside our centers. They will just be there, and they will be the ones to help facilitate directing people over to the bus for an ultrasound.
And this is something that CareNet, of all the CareNets that are affiliated with CareNet National, which I believe is around 1,100,
right?
We're the first ones to pioneer this. So we were putting, with the help of our mobile unit director, putting together a manual. And we just want to have advocates that are abiding by the law, but also compassionate, and having them draw these women over to our medical mobile unit.
And we'll be able to schedule them. Mm-hmm. So they'll be scheduled with the times that we are there. Mm-hmm. And so that will be another advantage. So July 18th from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock at the Northeast Heights location, we will be having our first ever Compassion Crew training. So if anyone is interested in that, they could call again 880-8373, and we will get them connected to our medical mobile unit director and get them signed up for that training. It'll be a very unique group of people, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll have a really neat approach. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's just lots of ways that people can get involved. Another thing is I see it, and again, in your suggested conversation topics is, mm-hmm. Being available to talk to churches, to talk to women's group, to talk to MOPS groups, to talk to civic organizations, anybody that is interested in helping the community. I can speak, Stephanie speaks, any of our directors are willing to go into their communities and share about the work of CareNet, because we've had people say many times that they didn't know that we were here. And that's a heartbreaking thing to hear. I've been at multiple events where someone has walked past me and said, you know, if I'd known there was a place like CareNet 20 years ago, I might have made a different decision. Mm-hmm. And you can hear the hurt, and you can see the hurt. And so we don't want to be a secret. We want people to know who we are and how they can get a hold of us.
I've heard this radio station share Dietrich Bonhoeffer's quote on, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not mm-hmm. to act is to act." And I think that goes just as much for the gospel as it does for protecting life. And I think as believers that mm-hmm. we are to take a stand for the things that break the heart of the Lord. And so encouraging churches to speak on life, not necessarily CareNet, but on life and the value of life, unborn life, from conception to natural death. I think that message is not spoken as loudly as it could be.
In light of all of the racial tensions going on in our country right now, I hope this is an inappropriate question, but you've got a really wealthy black girl or white girl and a really poor black, white, or Hispanic girl. Any of those people getting preferential treatment in your facilities?
Mm-mm, definitely not. Absolutely not. We see them all beautiful in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm. And their babies.
And their babies.
Well, I'm I'm just thinking that there are a lot of people listening right now that want to connect with you. So I want to give out the website again, make sure they know how to get in touch with you. There's probably a button to give financially, which I think Lori
right.
described earlier. Go ahead and give us that information.
Well, CareNetABQ.org. And yeah, just click on the donate button and that will take you to our giving platform.
Yeah. Do you all have a story or two that you could share with us that are kind of your most exciting, if you will, success stories?
Well, you know, I was thinking when we were getting things together for the Unbanquet, our client or our center director, Sue Freeman from the Northeast Heights, she had worked with a gal named Maggie. And when Maggie first came in, she was livid. She felt like she'd been dragged there by her sister. CareNet opened up after hours to see this gal because her sister, she told her sister, I'll go if you can get someone to stay there and wait for me. And she told her in no uncertain terms what her plan was, that the situation surrounding this baby were really unfortunate and she was not going to have this child. And Sue listened with compassion and shared with her. And she made the decision to have her baby. And so she shared again this year for our Unbanquet. She shared just her story again about how grateful she is that she has this little baby. And this is 10 years later, I think. Mm-hmm. This is 10 years down the road. And she still is just so grateful to the caring, compassionate experience that she had at CareNet. And she's just, you know, just in a wonderful place. She adores her daughter and wouldn't trade it for anything. Another story I can think of is one that's in our annual report. And that's another thing. We have our annual report on our website. So if anybody would like to go and take a look at what happened in 2019, we share some of our client stories on there. And one just, I think, kind of highlights how important it is for the church to get involved with us. We have opportunities for that. And one of the things that the Northeast Heights has done down through the years is have a dinner connected to their clothing closet two Wednesdays a month. And so a church will come in, they'll provide a meal for the clients. The clients will get a chance to fellowship and visit with them. And there was a gal named Jennifer who had made a salvation decision, and she had gotten into a relationship with this church congregation, and she shared her story about how she felt that now she belonged. She was without a people, and now she was with a people, and she was baptized and joined that church, and they continue to disciple her today. And so it takes all of us to grow this together. You know, it's a neat experience. So yeah, we have lots of opportunities.
We also share about saving themselves for marriage, and that's a harder one when they're already in a relationship. So lots of stories on that one too, but I know we're about to wrap up.
Well, I have the last question I'm going to ask Stephanie this. So you have a young woman that might have had an abortion a few years ago. Mm-hmm. She's not pregnant now, but she's hurting. Mm-hmm. And she just somehow feels a loss. Can she come see you?
Oh, my goodness. Please, please come see us. Yes, mm-hmm. We have a post-abortive recovery group called Morning to Joy, which we have about every couple months. And if someone is interested in going through that support group, I highly recommend it. The guilt and shame that women have when they've had an abortion, they can know Jesus and maybe get some counseling. But if they haven't gotten specific counseling from a post-abortive recovery support group, then they're not getting the complete recovery, I believe. And so this one is the best one that I've been a part of in my entire life as far as going through or giving the support group classes. But excuse me. But they can contact us to find out when our next one is going to be. So.
Well, I want to remind all of our listeners that if you didn't catch all of this show, you two have done a great job. Stephanie Luke and Lori Duffy with the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. You can get a copy of this at abqconnect.online and also on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/abqconnect. Stephanie and Lori, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.